Good evening, everyone. It's May 20th, our Wednesday evening prayer and Bible study sermon and our service, and looking forward to a great night tonight. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here, Lord, as a church. Lord, we're thankful for how well you've taken care of us over the years. Lord, we're thankful for how you instituted the church. And Lord, we're thankful for the fellowship we can have, but also the preaching, the teaching, the opportunity to worship. Thankful for prayer, thankful for the word of God, thankful for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you bless the service. We want everything that's done here tonight to be something that you would be pleased with, and also that you would get glory and honor from. Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts. Lord, thank you once again for the opportunity to be able to worship you and to learn of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's sing our theme song together. Brethren, we have met to worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered
song is Heavenly Sunlight. We haven't had a lot of sky sunlight, but we have heavenly sunlight all the time. Sing all three verses, please. Heavenly Sunlight.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never shall fail. Heavenly Sunlight. Heavenly sunlight flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine.
Sing with me.
Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praise as Jesus is mine.
And the last,
in the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. His praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Amen, amen. Once again, welcome to Faith Baptist Church tonight. Just a couple quick announcements. First, we're having church here on Sunday morning. Just like last week, we're asking that you show up about 9:55 so we can make sure everything's settled before we start live streaming at 10. And it is a service for anyone who feels comfortable. It's intended for our church family, but also if you have some relatives that want to come or have come before in the past a few times, it's okay. We're still not trying to do much outreach right now with all the stuff that's going on with the virus. Because of the junction that the judge put on, we're able to have church and we're able to do it legally and freely. So we're going to do that, and we're still going to practice some social distancing. And we still have some masks and gloves available for you to use while you're here if you're interested and things like that, discouraging any type of handshaking or hugs and things like that. But if you're able to and you feel comfortable to come, be here at 9:55. And the reason why we start a little bit earlier is because of the fact that after we get done the morning service, we're going to take a short break somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes, and then we're going to record the evening service. And that's that usually gets us done somewhere around 12:30, 12:45, I think it was last week when we got finished. And so you can stay for two services and be part of two services. You can come for one if you like to, whatever you like to do, whatever you feel comfortable with. And only if you feel comfortable. If you've been sick, we ask that you stay home. If you have a fever, obviously we ask you to stay home. And those that are at a high risk category for the virus, it might be best to stay home for another week or two while we're still figuring everything out. As things are going along, as expected, then the following Sunday, I believe it's the 31st, we'll begin having our Sunday evening service here at the church where everybody can come. And then that following Wednesday, we'll begin having our Wednesday evening service also. So that's the way that we're doing the opening, reopening the church. 2 weeks after that is when we're going to be having our Sunday school classes and some of our kids' classes as we're tentatively planning and scheduling that. Just want to make sure everything's going the way that we anticipate it going, and we covet your prayers during this time. Other things to be on lookout for, remember we're having that young adult / teen Bible studies that are supposed to be posted on Fridays. Also, we have our children's FBC kids programs that are usually posted on Saturdays. So be looking out for those. Encourage you to be faithful of watching those. Encouraging us also with our prayer challenge. We'll have later on this week another installment of the prayer challenge. We only have a few more left. But teaching us how to pray and having a worthwhile, valuable prayer time, even praying for a longer extended period of time, especially during these times of uncertainty. But I appreciate everyone's faithfulness. Appreciate everyone's giving. We had a really great offering last week. The McBride's love offering was very good also, so you can continue on giving as the Lord's asked you to do. We do that not because God needs your money, but to honor the Lord, but also to acknowledge what the Lord's asked us to do. And that's what we're doing. And just thankful for your faithfulness and giving. You can do that through online. You can also do that through sending it to the P.O. Box, or you can drop it off on Sunday or throughout the week here. So I want to just encourage you, be faithful, continue. And once again, as the church opens up, as you feel comfortable, come and just enjoy the fellowship. It was so nice to see all those people this past Sunday. Looking forward to seeing them again this Sunday.
All right, our last song for tonight is The Way of the Cross Leads Home. If you have a songbook 42, let's sing all three verses. The Way of the Cross Leads Home. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross leads home. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to the heights sublime, seek my home where he waits at the open door. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. The way of the cross.
I'm a child of the King. Now I'm a child with a heavenly home. My holy Father has made me His own, and I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing, praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We're going to look at something tonight as something that steals your peace. Something that steals your peace. I've been thinking a little bit about this word peace and how God gives us some wonderful promises when it talks about peace. You say, well, what does the word peace really mean when it speaks about in the Bible? Well, what it's referring to here is it's a sense of rest. A sense of contentment, someone that's free from internal commotion and turmoil. It's the rest that God can give you. It's the peace that God can give you. And I tell you, in a world that we live in today that seems like it's going craziness around here, there's not a lot of people that have peace. You see people out there that are protesting, some protesting one thing, some people protesting the other sides of things. You see people that are worried at home. You see people that are lonely at home. You see people that are, there's all different types of emotions that are going on in the world we live in. And to be honest with you, the peace of God is missing in many people's lives, even in Christians' lives. Now, here's some great promises concerning peace. And we're not going to turn to those. These are familiar passages, but there's three different ones because I want to establish this principle. God's promised this peace. You turn around and say, well, Pastor, it seems like that's too elusive. It seems like no one can live without worry. It seems like no one can live without guilt. It seems like no one can live without pressure. No one can live without these things. But God promises that we can have peace, and a peace that passes all understanding. Think about what it says in John 14:27. John 14:27, Jesus has just told his disciples that, hey, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to die. Peter's getting ready to deny me. You're all going to forsake me. And it's that famous passage of Scripture. It starts off with, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Later on in that chapter, there's a wonderful promise that's given. It's found in verse 27, John 14:27. He says, peace I leave with you. He says, look, I'm leaving you peace. He's talking about the Holy Spirit that's coming. And he said, peace I leave with you. Now listen to the next phrase. He says, my peace I give unto you. And he's not talking about the peace that a drug can bring or alcohol can bring, because sometimes they can bring you some type of peace for a short period of time. Giving in to sin sometimes will even calm your heart for a few seconds, but it's a peace that won't last. He actually uses these words. He says, my peace I give unto you. If you go and look into scriptures, was there a moment or time when Jesus was anxious about something? Was there a moment or time when he was worried about something? You say, well, why would he be worried about getting sick? He gets heal the sick. Why would he be worried about not having enough money? He could just create money. You're getting the point here. That's the exact same thing. We're a child of the King, like we just heard Brother Parker sing, and he has given us promises, and he doesn't just say, I'm going to give you peace so that way you can make it through. He says, I'm going to give you my peace. And remember, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. We have the peace of God. That's what the promises that are found there. He says the peace of God that can be in your heart. So John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, give unto you, not as the world giveth. He said, it's different. The world will offer you peace. Some people say, hey, you can find peace in a bottle. You know, if you're anxious and you're worried, let's pop some pills and you know what, you're going to find peace. Now you're going to find relief through the drug. It's not true inner peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that's probably two of the things that we would say, well, that's something pastor's going to talk about here. He's going to talk about things that trouble our heart or things that we're afraid of. And those are things that rob our peace, but that's not what we're going to look at tonight. Next promise he gives us, and it's probably one of my favorite verses, at least in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 26:3. And he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Now, it's not the world's peace. And if we serve a perfect God, it's similar to what it's talking about of my peace, as in John 14:27. He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. And it's not just the peace that we, hey, I can hang on and I can deal with the emotions. I can deal with the worry. No, he says, I'm going to keep you in perfect peace. Now, who are the people he's going to keep in perfect peace? He says, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So the scripture is saying here, he says, I'm going to not only leave you my peace, but I'm going to give you perfect peace. But here's the qualifying factor. He says, you need to be considering me. He says, whose mind is stayed. It's saying there that it's fixed on God. And it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And then, and like we're talking about, considering him. You know, as we consider him, as we consider, just like it would be foolish for Jesus to worry. It'd be foolish for Jesus to not know where his next meal is going to come from when he could feed 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. And we all know he could have done that without the five loaves and two fishes. He just wanted to use the little boy to be able to teach a lesson. He could have made things appear just like that if he wanted to. He says, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And so it's not me that's saying this. This is the scriptures, and we're just teaching the word of God. If you have a heart that's full of anxiety and a heart that's full of worry, what the scripture is saying here, get your heart on God. And it says, it's stayed on thee. This is where the promise is, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And that next phrase, because he trusteth in thee. Now here's the point. Everybody says, yeah, of course I trust in God. Well, how come we worry so much? It's because our mind's not stayed on him. Our mind's not focused on him. We're not going to trust in him unless we're thinking about him. Now, in the back of our mind, in the back of our heart, yeah, I'm trusting God. I know God's going to take care of everything. You know, the world's going crazy. The world's doing this. The world's doing that. God's in control over the... But it's how we live day by day. If we keep our heart and our mind focused on God, when that person overreacts, guess what? We're trusting the Lord. Our mind stayed on him. He allowed that to happen. And because of that, he wants me to react a certain way. When I don't have enough money, you know, if God was standing right here next to you, you'd be like, hey, God, can I borrow some money? He's like, hey, you only have to borrow it. I'll just give it to you. And I know what some of you kids are thinking. Well, that's not the way my father treats me. I ask him for money. He tells me a story. Now, God, our Heavenly Father here is saying, I am able to keep you in not just peace. He says, my peace. And then he says, perfect peace. And then the way he describes it in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Now, you think about that. He's referring to not just a worldly peace, not just something we can create on our own. It's sort of like we learned about on Sunday night about wisdom. It doesn't come in the land of the living. It comes from God, and it's the peace of God. And it says, "Who's in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So we're not going to be able to keep our own hearts. We're not going to be able to keep our own mind. Many of us are failing at this point. There's not peace in our heart. There's not peace in our mind. And to be honest with you, there are some people who are failing because of the fact they're fearful. Like it said in John 14, it says, "Say, neither let it be afraid." There are some people that are scared of certain things. They might be afraid of a snake. They might be afraid that their child is not going to turn out right. They might be afraid that their marriage is going to break up or your children's marriage. You know, there's a lot of things that people are afraid of and fearful of. But that's not what we're going to look at tonight. And that involves a lot of people. But he says that he can keep you with the peace of God and passeth all understanding, and it shall keep your heart and mind. So tonight, the one thing I think that God's been working on my heart about, and I think he would like for me to share with you tonight, is this idea of contentment. One of the things that disturbs us the most and causes our peace to go away is when we have the wrong thought about things of this world, with possessions. When it comes to always wanting something, we're going to look at this passage, it talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. And in this passage of Scripture, it talks about how godliness with contentment is great gain. And this passage of Scripture talks about how, hey, you didn't bring anything in this world, you're not taking anything out of this world, all these different things. A lot of people have lost their peace. They've lost their peace because they're pursuing something more than God. They've lost their peace because their mind is not stayed on Him. They have a pursuit. They have something they're after. They have something they're interested in, but it's not God. It's not that satisfaction that comes with knowing God and understanding God and making Him your pursuit. They have a tunnel vision that they're saying, okay, I need to make a dollar, or I need to get a car, or I need to get a house, or I need to get, and it doesn't even have to be physical, it doesn't even have to be monetary things. It can be, I need to get a husband, I need to get a wife, I need to get a boyfriend, I need to get a girlfriend, I need to get a college degree, I need, and then once again, there's nothing wrong with being focused, but if you truly want peace in your life, he says this, when your mind is stayed on Him, this is the peace, and what robs you away from this peace is pursuing the wrong things. And one of the main things that people pursue is more stuff. So let's look here for a few moments. We're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to read verses 6 and probably go all the way down to verse number 11. There's some great passages in there. I know that we don't want to be here all night listening to it, but there's some great verses in here. But I think we're going to stop in verse number 11. Let's go ahead and start in verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. And this is certain. He says this, there is a certainty here. He says, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith. And once again, there's an erring there. They made a mistake. And then it says, and pierced themselves. Once again, yeah, I don't know if you ever poked yourself with something. And it's like, it's pierced themselves. If maybe if you're sewing and you hit the needle and it hurts. And what the scriptures are saying, this is a self-inflicted wound. This is not something that you pierce themselves through with many sorrows. It says verse number 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you bless the reading and teaching of your word. Lord, you've promised us that your word's not going to return void. And that's what we're looking for tonight, Lord, to make a difference in people's lives. God, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for being kind with us. I pray that each person that hears this message would pursue after the right things. And Lord, and let not the peace of God escape us. Lord, you made it available to us. Help us not be pursuing wrong things and forget all about it. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the first point. It's the promise of peace. We looked at those three different portions of Scripture. The second thing I want you to think about is things that we should hold on to. Things we should hold on to. If you pursue the wrong things, if you hold on to the wrong things, you know what's going to happen? Your peace is going to be gone. I've read this verse and I've been thinking about it. It says in verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I don't know about you, but peace is something that is a great gain. I know what some people might say, hey, you know what really gain would be? I mean, if I had a lot of money, that would be a great gain. Well, if you listen to people that are rich or wealthy, lots of times all they want is peace. They just want something that where they won't be bothered. People that are in the world famous people today, you know, I know many of them are vain and they live for all the lights, but if you look deep down and listen to them, they just wish they had some peace. And there is so much peace, such a great gain to just have the peace of God in our hearts. To lay your head on your pillow at night, knowing you've done everything that God wanted you to do, you've done your best for Him, there is nothing that can replace that. The peace of God ruling in your hearts. the perfect peace of God as we keep our mind stayed on Him. My peace I leave unto you, not like the world's peace. And we all have friends, we all have relatives, we all have people that are not trusting the Lord, that are pursuing wrong things. And when we think about all those things, guess what happens? Their peace is gone. I'm worried. I have struggles here. I have turmoil here. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what's going to happen there. The world seems like it's going crazy. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And when they get excited, you know what they're missing? It's the peace of God. There is an inner confrontation that's going on. And I'm not talking about the old flesh versus the new flesh. I'm talking about as we're pursuing the wrong things, it stirs up ourselves and it stirs up the peace that God offers to us. And we miss the whole point. It robs us of our peace. It steals us of our peace because we're pursuing the wrong things. When I think about this verse here, it shows two different things I believe we should hold on to. That first thing is godliness. But godliness. And I like that. If you know me at all, I like to preach and teach about holy living. I think that a Christian should act like a Christian, like he's a child of the King, and there's a certain way that we should behave out in public. Now, we might differ on what you think is a proper behavioral pattern as somebody else, but if you're into, hey, I think we should live for the Lord, and we should be holy in our lives, and we should have certain things in our lives because He is God. And because He's God, I'm not going to keep on saying Lord, Lord, and doing what I want. I see Him as Lord. I want to make Him Lord of Lords in my life. And guess what? I want to hold on to godliness. Say, Pastor, you're going to go and start preaching again about this standard and that standard. The word godliness here is referring to someone that has a Godward type of attitude. That means they're considering God in their conversation. They're considering God in their decisions. They're considering God on what they wear. And they're considering God what they listen to and what they watch. I really think we should do. And you say, Pastor, you talk. I'm talking about all areas of our lives. We watch things that should be honoring and pleasing to God. We should dress for the Lord. We should act for the Lord. We should witness. And this godliness is something I think we need to grab a hold of. Because one thing that will cause great turmoil in a Christian and a believer's life, and I was discussing this with somebody the other day, and it says, one of the greatest things that gets away my peace and the greatest turmoil is when I'm doing wrong. I don't know about you, but the inner battle that happens when I start doing wrong, it robs my joy away. It robs my peace away. I have to get that right. My fellowship is broken, and I need godliness in my life. I need to be have a Godward type attitude, because if not, I'm going to be pursuing other things. And as I pursue other things, you know what's going to happen? My peace is going to be gone. I'm going to start worrying. I'm going to start being concerned. I'm going to start being upset. I'm going to start having turmoil in my life and having turmoil in my family and having turmoil in my ministry, all those different things, because I forgot the importance of godliness. If I have a Godward type attitude, you know what? I don't have to be worried about what anybody else thinks because God can deal with it. I don't have to worry about the decision. If the decision comes from God, you know what happens? I can blame it on God. If I treat a person with kindness, if I treat a person with being tenderhearted, if I treat a person with the way that God says, forgiving someone else, if I treat and I do the things that God wants and I have this Godward type attitude, I no longer have to worry. I no longer have to fret. I no longer have to be consumed with, I don't know how this is going to turn out, because I place it in God's hand instead of keeping it in my own hand. I place it in God's hand by doing it God's way and saying, God, I'm leaving this up to you. I'm laying it at your feet. God, this is yours. You told me I can cast my cares upon you. I'm just giving it over to you, and I am just taking these steps of faith and being content where I'm at, because I can't deal with the stress. I can't deal with the heartache. I can't deal with the problems, because you've told me I can have perfect peace. You told me that I can have your peace. You've told me that the peace of God that passes all understanding can keep my heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Peace, that's something that is attainable. That's something that God's promised you. That's something that you can have. But you have to have a Godward type attitude. You have to be thinking, how would God want me to respond to my brother or my sister? How would God want me to respond to my husband or my wife? How would God want me to respond to another church member? How would God want me to respond to this virus? How would God? This is what peace is when we have a Godward type attitude. We give it over to the Lord and we trust in Him because our mind is focused and stayed on Him. I didn't make the decision, so if something bad happens, I just say, go talk to the Lord about it. I've had people very rarely, and people at our church are usually very kind, very rarely, but I've had a couple of people say, I didn't like what you preached. And you know what I tell them? I said, talk to God about it. In a nice way. You know me, I'm not a confrontational. Usually I'm not a confrontational type guy. And I'll say to them, just talk to the Lord. And I've said more than once when somebody says, hey, I think you're making a wrong decision. I've told them, I says, talk to the Lord about it. Because he's the only person who's going to be able to change my heart. And I said, if the God changes my heart about it, but I believe I'm following the Lord. And I'm sure I've said that fleshly before. But majority of the times I'm saying, if I've given this over to the Lord, I'm open to whatever, but if God's going to change my heart for me to change my mind. And that's peace that's there. I don't have to keep on carrying it with me. I don't have to keep on making my burden heavier and heavier and heavier. You know, it's this thought, what's going to happen in this relationship? If you give it over to the Lord, and you say, God, it's on you. What's going to happen with my job? If you give it over to the Lord, God's going to take care of you. So not only does we hold on to godliness, but there's another word here. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So there's something that's to be gained. There is something to be had. There is something that no one in the world can buy. That's peace. There is something in the world that so many people search for and seek for, but cannot get on their own, and that is peace. You think about it. You know, they've talked about wanting to have world peace. They've talked about wanting to have peace in families and peace in homes. Think about all those different things that are going on in people's hearts and lives. And here, this is the gain. Godliness with contentment. And then what does that word contentment mean? I think that word contentment, it's a good way of putting it, is being satisfied with the Lord. Being satisfied with what you have. Now, some people are confused about this idea of contentment. They talk about contentment being a person who's lazy. Laziness does not mean contentment. Selfishness does not mean contentment. Complacency does not mean contentment. Some people think that life, if you're like Winnie the Pooh, you walk around, you eat this big jar of honey, and then you're so overwhelmed and so overweight that you just sit down underneath a tree and take a nap. Now, that might be nice, but that's not contentment. That's being lazy. That's not what the scripture is saying here. Don't be content in this idea that I don't need to do anything for God. It's the complete opposite. It means I am satisfied with my relationship with Jesus Christ. I know he is the only one that can bring satisfaction, and I'm going to pursue after that relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to grow that relationship. I'm not going to find my satisfaction. I'm not going to find my happiness. I'm not going to find my joy than anywhere else than him, first and foremost. He is my sufficiency. It's a type of mind and attitude. David got this when he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's bragging. He says, the Lord's my shepherd. He says, I don't know who your shepherd is. I don't know who takes care of you or where you find your joy at or who you lead, who you follow after. He says, the Lord, he's my shepherd. And then he continues on, I shall not want. I know that whatever God brings me to. And David, he faced different things. You know, he was being chased by Saul. He was ran out by Absalom. I know David sinned, just like we all do. And yeah, his sin was probably bigger than what we would say ours was. But you think about it, sin is sin. And we've all failed. And as we failed, we got to remember this. What is my focus? What is it? What is my joy? Contentment is finding satisfaction in him. It's not being eaten up with someone else's achievements. It's not being eaten up with someone else's possessions. It's not being eaten up with somebody else's this or that. It's confidence in knowing who God is and that I am going to find my joy and I am going to find my help and my satisfaction in Jesus and Jesus alone. So you take those two things. The first one is godliness, having a Godward type attitude. And that second thing is being contentment. You finding your satisfaction in him. You put those two things together, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be great gain. What is some of the gain? There's blessings of God, but the one we're focusing on tonight, it's the peace of God. If you're willing to say, I'm going to have a Godward type attitude and keep my mind focused on him, and I'm going to be satisfied with what God gives me, you know what equals there? Great gain. The peace of God. So that was what we should hold on to. Second point is, or underneath what we should hold on to. It should be godliness and contentment. Second thing is something we shouldn't hold on to too tightly. There's some things in this world we shouldn't hold on to too tightly. And we don't know how long we're going to last in this world. I mean, we think wealth is so important, but it's going to be gone sooner or later. That's what it says in verse number 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And this is a promise, and they're saying there are certain things we got to make sure we don't hold on to. You know, when we came into this world, we were all the same way. We were all born naked. And, you know, when we leave this world, when we get up to heaven, we're all going to be there. We're not going to take anything with us. That's why the scripture says there's certain things that we should not hold on to very much. It says, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There are certain things in this world we shouldn't just hold on to very tightly. And it's the possessions of this world, the materialism things of this world. There are so many times that people hold on to that and they got to have that. But what does it really get us? And don't get me wrong, I don't think there's anything wrong with being wealthy. I think it's wonderful that people are wealthy. And I think it gives people a chance to be a blessing to others. I know of some people who maybe aren't rich, but they maybe have a little bit more than somebody else, and they're very generous with that. And I'm very thankful for people like that. And I'm thankful for people that understands that they are a steward, that the things don't belong to them, that they're a steward of God's possessions that God has given them. But I began thinking a little bit about things that money can't do. This morning, I have a friend, Evangelist Scott Pauley, that does a podcast every Monday through Friday. And I was listening to his this morning. It was talking about a similar subject here. And I think the title of it was Things That Money Can't Buy or something like that. And his points were a little different than mine, but the points are found in the same passages of Scripture. The first thing is things that money can't do is you can't buy salvation. No matter how much money you got in your pocket, there's nobody up there saying to God, sitting in hell, saying, hey, God, remember all that stuff I have? You can have half of it if you let me in heaven. The rich man was in hell, and he was saying, can I just have a drop of water? That's it. That's all he said. He realized where it was. It can't buy salvation. Psalms chapter 49 puts it a specific way that I think is really interesting. Psalms 49, verses 6 to 8. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. So what the scripture is saying there is, no matter how much money is, you're not going to be able to redeem your brother. And no matter how much money it is, you're not going to be able to give God a ransom for the soul of a person. It's too valuable. It costs too much. Money cannot buy that. Now, I thought that was really interesting. None of them by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. They're saying that no matter how much wealth you have, no matter how much possessions you have, you're never going to be able to redeem your brother. You're never going to be able to provide salvation for someone else, including yourself. Because it says, for the redemption of their soul is precious. It's something that's more precious than money, something more precious than gold, something more precious than diamonds. We talked about this past Sunday night, you know, where does wisdom come from? And talks about the fear of the Lord and understanding is when we depart from evil. That's what wisdom is. And you can't buy that. You have to learn from God. And this is something money cannot buy. It cannot buy salvation. The next thing is, it can't help you in the afterlife. It can't help you in the afterlife. In Psalms 49:17, the same psalm, it says, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. So what the scripture is saying there is that, look, you're not going to carry anything with you. You know, there's been many times you hear lots of illustrations about this, and it doesn't always sink in. We still put so much value in our possessions. And I think we should be good stewards. I don't think we should treat things like trash. I think we should be good stewards and take good care of things. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when we pursue after possessions, you know what happens? We got to remember, I'm not taking this with me. The things I'm taking with me are rewards that are up in heaven. Those are the things I should be focused on. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And those are things I should be putting up there, but I'm not taking this stuff with me. I'm not taking that car with me. I'm not taking that house with me. I'm not taking that money. We all remember that little joke where the guy got up to heaven. He begged God over and over, can I just take one suitcase? Can I take one suitcase? And finally, God allowed him to take it up to heaven. And then one of the angels asked him, he says, what's in the suitcase? And he pulls out and he's so proud. It's a whole bunch of gold. And the guy says, well, why did you bring asphalt up to heaven with you? Because there's streets of gold. I mean, it's the perspective. You know, no one's ever seen a U-Haul being pulled behind a hearse. You know, the point is that we're not going to take it with us. But we focus so much on having something. Our goals many times, and I don't think there's anything wrong with saving something. It's good to teach your children if there's something they want, maybe not give to them, but make them save their money. Once again, there's nothing wrong with that. But when that becomes our pursuit, when that becomes our passion, when that becomes our desire, no longer is our goal being content in the Lord or what he's given us, and we get our sufficiency out of him. Instead, it becomes about things we can't take it after with us afterwards. One time a lawyer was asked by some greedy kids. The dad had died, and there was a fortune to be had. The kids asked the day of the funeral, the lawyer, how much did he leave? And the guy said, he left it all. And that's what he did. They were interested, how much did he leave me? How much did he leave that? He says, he left it all because there's nothing that you can take with us from the physical realm. Alexander the Great. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is written by lots of different sources. They said on his deathbed, he asked for his generals to come around him. He asked for some of his leaders that were there around him. And he asked for three requests. He wanted to get home. He wanted to see his mother one more time before he left, but that was not going to happen. He says, these are my three wishes. He says, my first wish is that my physicians alone must carry my coffin. After a pause, the king continued, for my second wish is I want the path leading to my grave to be strewn with gold, silver, and precious stones, which are in my treasury, while my body is being carried to be buried. And then the king said, my third and last wish is that both my hands be kept dangling out of my coffin. Now the generals said they weren't going to question, obviously, Alexander the Great. He was the one known for conquering the known world at such a young age, dying at 32 years old. One of his favorite generals, it says, after kissing his hand and pressing it to his heart, he says, we assure we'll follow all the wishes, they will be fulfilled. But could you enlighten us on why you make such strange requests? It says, Alexander responded, he says, I would like the world to know of these three fundamentals. First, I want my physicians to carry my coffin because people should realize that no doctor can really cure anybody. They are powerless and cannot save a person from the clutches of death. My second wish is to strew the gold and silver and those other precious stones on the way to my grave is to let people know that I thought that though I spent all my life accumulating riches, not even a grain of gold will come with me when I leave this world. I want people to understand that it is a sheer waste of time, energy, and peace of mind when one yearns to be rich. And third, my third wish of having my hands dangling out of the coffin, I want people to know that I came empty-handed into this world, and likewise, I will go empty-handed from this world. Now, once again, it's the first time I've heard or read that, but I thought it was interesting. There's so much truth to it. Whether Alexander the Great said it about himself or someone wrote it about Alexander the Great, it doesn't really matter. There's truth that's there. We're leaving it behind. Alexander the Great conquered the known world at such a young age, but he still passed away at 32. Nothing he could do to stop that from happening. I remember reading the story of a rich man, very wealthy, looked at his doctor and said to his doctor, if you could just give me a short more time to live, I'd give you half my fortune. Doctor said, I can't do it. There is no one that can do that but God. And what the great gain is found in, it's found in the peace that God offers. Money cannot buy you salvation. Money cannot, you can't take it with you in the afterlife or can't help you in the afterlife. Third, but not last, can't give you satisfaction. Some people think, if I could just have this, I'd be satisfied. I've thought that in my own life before. If I could just do this or have this, you know what? I won't want anything else. But many times, as soon as you get that one possession, there's something else that you want, and there's something else that you want. Ecclesiastes 5:10 puts it this way, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." I think you see that written by Solomon, the man that was known for being super, super wealthy. But he also said he hated his life. He had achieved more than anyone else. He had all the pleasures he wanted. He had all the money he wanted. But he said everything was vain. Here's the truth. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I've met people that are wealthy, and they always want something more. I met some that have next to nothing, and they're satisfied with the Lord. They're the ones that have the peace of God just ruling in their hearts and their minds. And I'm wondering how much we let pursuing the wrong things rob us of our joy. We think, oh, worry is horrible and bad, and it is a sin. Well, that person worries too much. That person's too afraid. They can't even accomplish anything. But this pursuing of the wrong things is something I know that in my own life has caused me to not have the peace that God wants me to have. Last but not least, there's things we should pursue. Things we should pursue. And it says it here in verse number 11. We're not going to spend much time on this. Things that we should pursue is found in verse number 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Flee what things? The love of money. Because the Bible says in verse number 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. It says, flee these things and follow after. These are things we should be following after. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. There should be a thirst there for these things. The person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they're the ones that are going to be filled. The Bible says the person who loves silver, never going to be satisfied. The person who loves abundance, never going to be happy. But a person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, guess what? They're going to be fulfilled. They're going to be satisfied. So godliness with contentment, there's a great gain. And I think if we were true to ourselves, many of us have lived without peace for such a long time, we don't even know what it's like. Many of us have been worried and cumbersome about so many different things that we miss the peace of God that he promises us. He says he will give us perfect peace. Jesus even told his disciples, "I leave you my peace." And it's the peace of God that can keep our hearts and minds. Now, here's the point. It starts with godliness, having a Godward type attitude, and then contentment. Then you'll have that gain. Don't let the devil rob you of your peace. It says in verse number 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Erred from the faith, it means that they have put their faith in the wrong things. They have, what it says here, coveted after. Our peace has been robbed because we covet after the wrong things. Our peace has been taken away because we desire something somebody else has. And I began thinking once again, the Lord's been bringing to my heart and mind people that live in third world countries or people that live in communistic tight states where they can't even have church, or even this first century Christians that would be punished for going to church. And I'm wondering, why in the world is this bothering us so much? I'm wondering why we're losing so much peace over this. Remember, God's in control. And this has been hard, but it's only going to get worse as the end times get closer and closer and closer. If we can't have peace of God during the COVID virus, I feel sorry for you maybe 10 years down the road when something else, or even sooner, something else might happen. The judgment of God is going to come someday. He's going to return. And it looks like the end time is getting closer and closer. But whether it's coming sooner than we think or not, we should be living with this peace. Something like this should not turn a Christian's world upside down. Something like this should cause the light of the peace of God in our heart to shine. And people say, "Why aren't you so worried? Why isn't this bothering you? Why isn't it?" Why? It's because I have peace. because my mind's focused on a God that could heal this just like that if he wanted to. I had the perfect peace that God's offered. I had the peace that Jesus left me. I had the peace of God in my life. So there are some things we should hold on to. That is, first, godliness. Secondly, contentment. Some things that we should not hold on to very tightly, and that's wealth and the things of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Remember, money is not going to buy you salvation, not going to buy your brother salvation. It's not going to buy your friend salvation, not going to buy your family salvation. We looked at that in Psalms 49. I encourage you to read Psalm 49 and just look at that. It's interesting what money cannot do for you. Well, I need to spend my life, some people say, making sure my kids have more than what I had. That money is not going to buy their salvation. So let's make sure that we put the right things on the top of the priority list, pursuing the right things. When we pursue the wrong things, it's going to rob us of our joy. You step away from that godliness, doing things that you know you're supposed to do. And there's that verse in James that talks about, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. It's going to rob you of that peace when you don't do the things you know you're supposed to. You're going to be in turmoil because your fellowship is broken with God, and you're going to have something heavy to carry. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Keep your mind stayed on him. Remember, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. It's a perfect peace. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the things we learned. Lord, I can say from my own personal example that there's been times of turmoil in my life because I didn't do the things I knew I should have done, or I did do the things I knew I shouldn't have done. And Lord, I want peace. I want something that's not offered anywhere else but from you. And Lord, I pray that I will not be pursuing the wrong things and letting that rob me of my peace, that I will not hold on to the things that I should not hold on to too tightly, and I'll grab a hold of godliness and contentment and find my sufficiency in you and pursue after you, because that's where peace is found. Lord, I pray for those today that might be struggling with peace, might be struggling with worry, might be struggling with stress. You know, losing peace comes in so many different avenues. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks again for coming. Thanks for being faithful. Remember, having church 9:55 Sunday morning. The following week, we'll go back to having it at 11 a.m., but this week is 9:55, and church is going to be open for those that feel comfortable coming. Once again, if you have family members that want to come with you that maybe their church is closed down, that's fine. We're still not trying to just pull people off the street like we normally would because of the fact that we want people to feel comfortable coming, and we have a limited amount of space that's going to be in here. Obviously, we were not even close to capacity last week, so we have plenty of room, but we're just making sure that people feel safe and comfortable in their church family coming to church. But thanks again for listening. Thank you for your faithfulness. We're praying for you. Be on the lookout for the Young Adult Bible Study and for the FPC Kids Program, and also for the Prayer Challenge. Have a great night.